Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Minutes on the timer, and the subject is careers.
I was having a conversation yesterday with a man called Daniel Gee. He is a football lawyer. He's a lawyer at Sheridan's. He's a partner, in fact. And we were talking about this thing. I'm going to do a podcast with him at some point about drive and about careers and about what's important. And he's 39. And I said, as soon as he said that, I said, I hate you. And he goes, why do you hate me? And I said, because I'm 39 and I'm not a partner at a law firm. And then we talked about whether or not, was it predestined that he would be successful based on his upbringing and his values and his work ethic? And was it always predestined that I would never reach that level? And I don't know what the answer is. Windy.
I think a lot of this stuff is predetermined to some degree by various levels of privilege, but also it's about what you see in your family environment, isn't it, when you're growing up. So my dad was self-employed and I grew up in a household where he had to work long hours, and I don't think, to be honest, that he would have wished me to go down the self-employment route, because it was really hard for him. It was really hard for him to make ends meet. And you know, by the time I finished school, went to university, we could talk about that in a bit, and decided to what I was going to do next, i.e. get an office job, that was the easiest thing. It was very simple, very straightforward at that point to just fall into an office job, a 9-to-5 office job that paid the bills, that was unexciting, was never going to, you know, make me bucket loads of money, but was safe and stable and comfortable. That just felt like the easy thing. I kind of always wished that I had like a burning desire to do something specific, and I just never, ever, ever had that. Did you? Did you ever have any of those careers discussions at school where someone said, have you thought about doing this? And then suddenly your aspirations change and you want to be a vet or a doctor or I don't know.
No, because when I was choosing my career, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a footballer up until the age of about 12, 13, realised I was nowhere near good enough. So I went through a careers booklet. I went to a careers advisor at school and was looking through this booklet, and I was just skimming through it, and just journalism popped up. I was like, and I read about it and the little paragraph underneath, and I was like, that sounds all right. That sounds like something I could do. I was good at English. It was one of the only good things I was actually good at school. And I thought, yeah, all right, journalism, that's for me. And I just chased that. I chased that for a long time. But when I came out, I went to journalism at university. And when I came out of uni, after 2.5 years, I dropped out. I remember it occurring to me that a 9-to-5 office job was going to be my future for the next 40 years. And I remember it being absolutely terrifying. I couldn't get my head around it. It was so depressing for me. And it's probably why I've ended up, my career has I did that, but it was unconventional for a bit. And I never did 9 to 5. I always did weird hours. And I did that for a bit, but I think I was always predestined to not working in office. And for the last 2 years, I haven't done that. And maybe this is...
It's funny, isn't it? I mean, the idea of working in an office to me was quite strangely comforting.
Secure.
Secure, because it also just felt like it was what everyone else was doing as well. So I just felt like, oh, okay, cool. I'm doing what everyone else is. That's a good thing. There was no part of me that thought I should rail against this in some way and do something different. I mean, my first office job was so dead end.
What was it, mate?
I can talk about it, can't I? It's fine. Yeah, I was working for a company called the Audit Bureau of Circulation. So they publish circulation figures for newspapers and magazines. So if you open the front cover of a magazine, there will be an ABC logo and the circulation figure. That was the company I was working for, and I was doing some of the pre-audit work. So some of the sort of technical data entry stuff. I make it sound way more complicated than it actually was. It was so boring.
But did you not? Did you not think this is like the start of my career, and this is what? Or did you think, all right, this is a stopgap until I actually do my actual career?
Very much a stopgap. I was like, finished uni. The day I got my results, I started looking in the local paper and on jobs websites for jobs, basically. And I was like, I don't want a gap. I want to go straight into a job and I'll take what I can get and then we'll move on from there. I'll start applying for other things, whatever. I was getting paid £12,500.
Even full time? Is that above minimum wage, or was there no minimum wage?
It can't have been much above minimum wage. This is 2005.
How old were you?
I was living at home. I was 21.
You could make it work. I was living at home, but it's still.
Yeah, I was living at home, so it was cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all right, but it was at a pittance.
Of course.
I mean, I did get promoted quite quickly. I became team leader. Phil's very Gareth from The Office, but I was team leader. And then I moved on from there. And it actually gave me quite a helpful grounding, but there was no sort of thought went into it at all. No planning went into it. Because what you're meant to do, of course, is have a career in mind that you want to achieve and then go, right, what are the skills I need to get to that point?
Yeah.
None of that happened with me. It was more just like, this is fine. I'm going to work. It's really boring, but I work with a really great group of people and have a lot of fun. And you find ways of making work fun, don't you? You do stupid things. I've got so many stupid stories from that place that just made it enjoyable and made the time pass. And it was fine. The people were great. The company culture was lovely. Everyone was really welcoming. There was opportunities to progress to some degree until there weren't. And it was fine, you know, as a first job, it's absolutely fine. How about you? What did you go into after uni?
I went back to the youth project I was working on before I went to uni, which is a youth media project, and I went to edit their magazine, and I did that for 12 years. But my aspirations and what drove me wasn't my career; it was getting somewhere. And I, from quite a young age, had this vision of wanting to live in the countryside. I had an idea of what my garden would look like and what the house would look like, and the garden would have a stream running through it, and I'd sit by the stream and look into it. And that was what drove me, rather than how do I get there. And I knew obviously work and money was going to be how I did it, but I just had no clue. And how do you train for that? And I guess the only way you could do it is by doing something creative that doesn't require you to be in one place all the time. And then the opportunity was presented to me a couple of years ago, whereas my missus lived in a house similar to that, not the garden and that. But my career, it felt like the things that happened and the things I was fortunate to happen were all leading to this point in a weird sort of predetermined way. So while I was never going to be a partner at a law firm, I was gonna get what I want by seeing the opportunities as they appeared in front of me. So what I mean by all that is,
tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I was working for Exposure. Then started the Fighting Cock podcast nine and a half years ago. That was just a hobby. It's just something to do, something fun to do with my mates. Met you lot, all become very close friends. And then at some point I realised that, well, hang on a minute, this could be my out. This could be my next career move where I can work for myself. I can escape. I can do this anywhere. And then it clicked. I met my missus. She lived in this place. Sorry if you can hear my cat in the background. It lived in this place and I was like, right, okay, so this has happened. I have this job in London for Ball Street, football media job. I'm picking up loads of business skills there. At some point, I need to make the jump and go and live in the country. And that was the scariest moment, knowing when to make that jump.
Oh, mate, you're very good at visualising things and having a bigger picture in mind. I really wish I had that capacity. It's just never been a part of me. I've just stumbled from one job to the next, and it's only been in the last couple of years when I've been in my 30s and actually had aspirations to advance my career. I suppose I would say that, although it's not even that deep. It's only now that I've actually thought, you know what, I could progress. And I'm now, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm in a good job. I manage 50 people, 50 plus people. You know, it's quite a job of responsibility.
Your job sounds so hard. I mean, we talk about it often. It sounds like really, really tough work. And I wouldn't have it in my capacity to do it. And we all do that, Chris. We work in where our skill set lies. Naturally,
yeah.
And you're good. You're empathetic, and you're good, and you have strategy, and you can plan stuff. Do you know what my strategy is and my planning? It's writing what I have to do on a notepad with pen and paper, pen and pencil. I still use pen and paper. Look, you've got cams up. That's my notepad. That's what planning I need to do, and I try and be better at it. I know I could do better, but it's just so boring. And the thing is if you're, I think you're more. You're going to end up with a better career with better money if your brain works the way you do, Chris. Not that that's what is the be all and end all, but in terms of career, it works if your brain works like that.
Yeah, and I think I don't know if I've ended up doing what I do because of my skill set or if my skill set's developed because I do what I do. But I've always been a bit of a generalist in that I can do a bit of everything quite well, but I'm not exceptional or anything. So my job really suits me. I work in higher education. I work in a middle management role where I'm responsible for a lot of different things, and I need to know a little bit about a lot of things. And a big part of it is just keeping a team motivated and on track and checking in with them and making sure everyone's doing what they need to do to make things function.
How often is everybody doing what they need to do?
Good question. For the most part, everyone's doing what they need to do all the time. Yeah. There's obviously a few exceptions every now and again. It's going to happen, isn't it? I love
my
job.
Head just going, you're shit. You are so shit. You're making my life worse. I do that a lot. Sorry, go on.
No, I feel very lucky in that I do now do a job that I really, really, really enjoy. It's very draining. It can be exhausting. I just had a 2-week break, actually, and it's been really nice to step away from it and have some time to refresh. Mm. But I do ultimately really love the nature of the work, the sector I work in, and most importantly, I think, the people I work with. I genuinely get on really well with the people I work with. There aren't many bad eggs in my organisation, I would say. Most people are very kind of, if not like-minded, then everyone's a decent human being and wants the best for the organisation and one another, and that is a really nice... That's a really nice place to
work. Where does your career go from here? How do you visualise the next 10 years, Windy?
Well, that's it. That's it. If I was smart, if I was planning, I'd be a director next. That would be my next step. I would go up from manager to director. And to do that, there are certain skills that I would need to develop.
What, like...
I'm not... Machiavelli enough to do that. I don't put myself first enough to prioritize learning those skills. It's just not in my nature to do that. I'm not driven in that way.
That was quite a humble brag you gave yourself there, Windy.
Which
the,
bit?
I don't know. I can't remember what you said. So it was like, yeah, I'm almost like too humble, if anything. Windy, you could do it. You just got to stick with it. I think the problem with lots of these things is that people, the higher up you go, the less jobs there are, and people don't leave them. So you do have to be somewhat Machiavellian to rise up the ladder and use tools outside the means of your everyday job. Because I think also in careers I've found is you get pigeonholed. You get people. People forget what you're capable of if you don't show them, and so they're happy to just leave you in a role because actually moving you on is more difficult than not moving you on. And
that is such a good point.
That's
something I've been thinking about a lot recently, is unlocking potential in other people and allowing people to show the other skills they have.
You don't let,
and
you...
not forgetting their hobbies outside of work, which also give people a more rounded skill set or a different skill set.
If you don't see the potential in people, then someone else will, and you'll lose them. And I think it's many, many places I've worked. Sorry, in the three places I've worked, I've seen many instances where people don't feel valued, and they move on. And my partner's, like, just to round that off on that, is she's incredibly talented, and I think she is better than her position. And I don't think the company she works for sees that, so she has to force it. And she's doing some stuff, actually, so fair play to her. But it's hard. It's hard to do. And like I say, if you don't see the potential in people, someone else will, and you'll lose them.
I sometimes feel like people haven't seen the potential in me early enough. And it's not a very nice feeling when you don't feel
just
valued or you don't feel appreciated.
All right, if you don't see it, I'm going elsewhere. That's what I would think. Fuck yeah.
I sit there and simmer and think, I will prove to you that I can
do it.
That's
why you got. That's why you earn the big bucks, Windy.
And on that note, our 15 minutes are up.